Good morning. I want to welcome you to our service this morning. It's good to be in God's house this morning. We're going to open our service with the hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So please join in with us. Stand if you can. Join in with us as we open our service this morning. Welcome to our service this morning. If we have any visitors, special welcome to you. Turn and greet each other, and our pastor will come to the stage.
Well, welcome, everybody. It's good to see you. We welcome you to our service today. We also welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube, and we welcome those who are listening by way of radio today. We're glad that you've joined with us to worship on this Lord's Day. This is the day that the Lord's made, and we will rejoice, and we're glad in it, so we're just happy that you came to be with us today. I'll be continuing today in the life of Peter, and we'll be going back to Mark 16, verse 7, and that'll be our jumping-off point as we continue talking about Peter. So we'll be doing that again today. Today I'll be talking about God's mercy. And we all need God's mercy, so that's something we all need to pay attention to today. May we pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the day, and we thank you for this time that we have to be together. And Lord, we do thank you for your mercy. You're a God of mercy, and your mercy is great to us. Your grace is great to us. Your love is great to us. And we need it. We really do. We are needy people. We're desperate people, and so we cry out to you today. Lord, as we worship you today, I pray that our focus would be upon you, and may we lift you up, and may we honor you in all that we do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Several announcements listed there in your bulletin, some special services coming up. Mother's Day and baby dedication will be next Sunday. Then the Sunday after that, on May the 15th, we'll be recognizing our graduates in that service as well. This Saturday, May 7th, Teresa wanted me to mention about the retirement party for Chief Webb. That's a drop-in, so you can drop in and drop out. So, you know, you don't have to stay for the entire time. So, and I hear the dessert's going to be donuts, so I don't know why. But, you know, that's what I've heard. So remember that and put that on your calendar this Saturday as well. And be in prayer for our Vacation Bible School. That'll be June 6th, 7th, and 8th. And we've moved the sign-up sheet out here in the foyer. And you can make it a little bit easier for people to sign up where they'd like to help this year. We're going to continue with our song service this morning with two hymns, Redeemed and In the Garden. So you join in with us as we sing this morning.
Redeemed, now I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night
Thank you. We're going to sing about God's mercy this morning, and we'll need your help as we kind of shorthanded up here this morning. So we're going to ask that you stand, if you're able to stand with us and join in as we sing His Mercy Is More. Join in with us. Is more. And as he's calling us to the altar this morning, that's the song, O Come to the Altar.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Forgiveness and the mercy and grace that comes through the shedding of your blood on the cross. And we thank you. We sing hallelujah that you have risen this morning. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love for us. Open our hearts now to receive your word. We ask in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. We started last week in Mark 16:7, so I won't continue today. I didn't get to say everything I wanted to say about this. And over the next couple of weeks, I want to continue in a series here in the life of Peter. I think if there's any apostle or disciple that we all can identify with, it's Peter. I know I do in my life. I identify with Peter probably more than any of them. But we can learn a great lesson here today about God's mercy, and that's what I want to talk about. But in Mark 16:7, "But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." The angel inside the tomb told the women to go tell the disciples that Christ had risen from the dead. And then they added, then the angel added, "and Peter." And so he was speaking God's message to Peter. As I said last week, the first apostle that Jesus appeared to after the resurrection was Peter. "And Peter" is what we all need to hear. In those two words, "and Peter," we find the gospel. We find a new beginning. We find hope. We see the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So a new beginning is possible, because without the resurrection, there'd be no new beginning for Peter. There'd be no new beginning for us. Now, we talked about Peter's denial of Christ last week, but I made the point last week to say this. We don't see the true Peter in his denial, but where we see the true Peter is in his repentance, in his recovery, and him coming back to the Lord. That's where we see the real Peter, and I want to continue with that thought today. Recovery is possible. Forgiveness is possible. A new beginning is possible, but it's not automatic. And so there were some things that Peter had to do. And there are three things that Peter did right after his denial. And when we mess up and when we fail and when we need recovery, these same three things that Peter did are what we need to do. And I'll talk about that this morning. So what did he do right? Number one, honestly accept responsibility for our poor decisions. Peter didn't make excuses. He didn't make a deal about blaming anyone else for his denial, but he became very honest. He was broken. He wept bitterly, and he got back to where he needed to do what he needed to do and where he needed to be with God. The thing that I love about God's mercy is this. The thing that we all recognize about God's mercy is that Jesus comes to us where we are. And see, that's where he was with Peter here. He came to Peter at a time when Peter had denied him. But Jesus came to Peter where he was, and he took Peter to where Peter needed to go. And folks, that's God's mercy. And that's what we all need. We all need that beginning. And Jesus comes to us in our need, where we need his mercy and we need his grace and we need his forgiveness. See, what Peter reminds us of is this, that we have a human condition that's familiar to all of us. We have a fallen nature. Any of us are capable of doing anything given the occasion and right opportunity and all that. Why? Because this old body's not saved. Our soul is saved. What's on the inside is saved, but our body isn't saved. So that's where Peter is here. But he didn't make excuses. He didn't blame others. In Peter's denial, leading up to that night before Jesus was crucified, we see four common causes for his poor choices. Four common causes for his betrayal of Jesus, and this is something common to us all. Number one was pride. You see this in Mark 14:29. Peter said that everyone else may stumble in their faith, but I won't deny you, Lord. And so we all have a problem with pride at times. Peter was overconfident, and his overconfidence led him to making this statement that he should never made, but he made it anyway. The Bible tells us that, you know, the possibility of the failure is something that all of us will face in life, because we all face temptation, we all face things like that. And so that's where Peter was with this. And so his pride got in the way. The Bible says when we think that we've reached the place where we don't need God's help and that we're not, we're where we need to be with everything, then that beware with that, because that's when the fall can come. But there's a second thing here, and it was fatigue. Mark 14:37, could you not stay awake with me for just 1 hour? Fatigue. It'd been a long day for those disciples. It'd been a long day for Jesus. So now they were going to the Garden of Gethsemane, the favorite place where Jesus went when he wanted to pray was the Garden of Gethsemane. So he took the disciples along with him, the apostles, and really what he wanted them to do more than anything else, he wanted them to pray for him. But even more that, what he wanted was their presence. Do you know that there is a ministry of presence? There are times when we don't need to say anything, we don't need to do anything, but the greatest thing that we can do in the life of another person to help them is this, our presence. This show up. And you know that's true, and I know that's true. And so here, the greatest battle that Jesus was fighting in his life before the cross, surrendering to the will of the Father, he wanted these fellows to be with him. He wanted the ministry of presence. But you see the fatigue here. They fell asleep and he came back again. You know, fellows, wake up, and I need you and need your help here. They fell asleep again and same thing, came back and they were asleep again. They tell us that we should never make a decision when we're fatigued. They tell us that when we are discouraged, we're just given out and maybe burn out, that in those times we should never make a major decision. Another common cause we see in the life of Peter that we all face is the fear of disapproval. In verse 54, Peter followed Jesus at a distance. Are you following Jesus at a distance? We need to get as close to him as we can get. And so here he was following Jesus at a distance. And the Bible tells us that's what he was doing. Now, why was he doing that? Now, here's what I believe. I believe that fear had gripped Peter's heart. And I think the reason that he was following Jesus at a distance is because that he knew that if he stood for Christ, that maybe the same thing that they were going to do to Jesus, they would do to Peter. Now, what were they going to do to Jesus? They were going to put him on a cross. So I think that fear kind of gripped Peter's heart there, but that's what was going on. He followed him at a distance. We need to be close to the Lord. That's where we need to be. And then there's another common cause here, and it's what's called short-term pleasure. Mark 14:54. Peter then sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. You know what's more important to us than, more important to God to us than our pleasure and our comfort? It's our character. That's more important to God. But here he warmed himself by the fire. He was thinking about his comfort. I don't know if they had hot dog sticks and getting ready, you know, come on guys, let's do this, or make us s'mores or whatever. But that was a comfortable place for him to be. And so what he was interested in was his short-term pleasure. I like ice cream. You probably tell by looking at me. Probably not the best decision I make is to eat that stuff before I go to bed at night. But, you know, I enjoy doing that, and I like that. But now, health-wise, that's probably not the best. And so we need to understand what's going on here with Peter, okay? He was not thinking about the long-term thing. He was thinking about the short-term decision in his life. You know what Jesus wants us to do with our failure, with our mess-ups, with our disappointments in life? You know what he wants us to do with our troubles and trials in life? He wants us to use those to help other people. And see, that's what Peter did. After Peter's recovery, after he came back to the Lord, after he got back to where he needed to be with the Lord, that's what he did. They say it this way: we don't need to waste our pain, but we need to use it in helping other people. The theologians call this redemptive suffering. That's what they call it. When we go through trouble, when we go through trials, when we go through difficulty in life and setback and failures and disappointments and all that, what we learn from those, the lessons we learn, we need to take and help others with those. Listen to Luke 22, 31, 32. Jesus is talking to Simon Peter. Here's what he said. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me," see, the Lord knows. He knows everything. He knew that Peter would come back. He knows that about us also. "But when you have returned to me, strengthen the other disciples." Peter, I want you to learn the lesson that you're going to learn here. And when you learn the lesson of your failure, of your denial, what you learn about me, take that and strengthen the other disciples. So that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to help someone else with the pain that we're going through. Now, many of you here today have been through pain, great heartache, great suffering. Some of you have lost a companion, a mate. Some of you have lost loved ones. So what can you do with that? You can take that heartache and you can help someone else who's going through that. And so that's what he wants us to do. There are two questions here that I want you to think about. What is the biggest troubles in your life? Those troubles that you face, what's the biggest ones? And then the way to help you understand what your biggest troubles would be is, what have you had to patiently endure? The answer hasn't come yet. Maybe the breakthrough hasn't come, or the door hasn't opened, or the prayer hadn't been answered in the way that we wanted to be answered. But they help us define what we can do in taking those lessons and those times of life and helping other people. That's what Peter did. God wants to use you in that way because he knows that we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Peter wasn't perfect, but God used him in a mighty way. That's why I say the most important thing to see about Peter and what we're talking about here is not the denial, but his repentance. And to see what happened in Peter's life after the recovery in his life. Number two, the second thing Peter did right was to humbly ask for God's mercy and forgiveness. And he did that. And that's where his recovery was. The first pathway to recovery was just be honest with God. The second thing here is just to be humble and pour your heart out to God. And that's exactly what he did. One of the great examples of this in the Bible is seen in Psalm 51 in David's recovery. Now, David messed up big time. He really had. But in David's recovery, we see the steps that we need to take. In his prayer in Psalm 51, verse 1, "Have mercy." So he cried out for God's mercy. We all need God's mercy. Now let me ask you this, folks. Do any of us deserve God's mercy? No, we don't. But He is a God of mercy. And because He is a God of mercy, then we have forgiveness. Because He is a God of love, then, you know, He does something to help us in His mercy. He's a merciful God. David goes on to say in that prayer, to wipe out my wrongdoing. In verse 2, he said, wash away my guilt. Verse 2, cleanse me from my sin. Verse 6, he says, I know your love completely and honestly from my heart. So help me, he said, help me, God, to see what's deep inside of me. Here's a man who's completely honest with God. And this is the step we need to take here. Then verse 6:10, he said, create in me a pure heart. Verse 10 again, renew a right spirit within me, right desires, right attitudes. And then verse 12, restore to me the joy, my salvation. And here's what David said. He said, God, when you do this, and you answer this prayer, and I find recovery, then he says, what I'm going to do is take the lessons that I've learned and I'm going to help other people. The number one attribute of God, in my opinion, above any other attribute of God, is God's mercy. He is a God of mercy. So we cry out for His mercy. In order to get past our failures, what we have to do is go through it. We do. We have to go through it. That's what David did. That's what Peter did. But we go through those things in life. We focus on God's mercy. And when we focus on God's mercy, we're not focusing on the failure or the defeat or the disappointment or the trial or the trouble. Peter wrote two letters in the New Testament. The first letter he wrote was 1 Peter. Do you know the second letter he wrote? 2 Peter. Okay, you guys, that's what he wrote. 1 Peter, 2 Peter. So listen to this verse in 1 Peter 1:3. This is where you see the recovery of Peter. Listen, 1 Peter 1:3. Because of His great mercy. Now, how did he know that? Because what he'd been through. Because of His great mercy, God has given us new life by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. What's that? What's the new life? It's when you're saved. When you're born again. Now, how do we have God's born again experience in our life? By God's mercy. How are we saved? We're saved by God's mercy, not that we deserve it. So here's Peter writing. Remember, Peter, you know, he messed up big time, but here he is writing about God's mercy, about being born again. And because of the resurrection, he fills us with a living hope. We have a living hope. See, that's the power of the resurrection. That's the power of recovery and the death of Christ on the cross and His resurrection. We have that power. Then Peter said, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You see, God is a compassionate God. That's what it means to be a God of mercy. Another word for mercy is compassion. God knows that we're needy people. And so Peter said, do what I did. Cast all your care upon Him. Bring whatever it is to Him. And talk to Him about it, because He is a God of mercy. Then the third thing that Peter did right was to gracefully accept God's grace. And then we got to forgive ourselves. That's what we have to do. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Redemption brings grace. Redemption brings forgiveness. Redemption means the price that Christ paid on the cross for our sins. He paid the price. His blood was shed on the cross. His death on the cross paid for our sins. Because of that, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. No sin a believer can meet, can ever commit, past, present, or future will ever be held against us. Why? There is no condemnation. He paid it all on the cross. The blood was shed to pay the price for our sin. You see, the reason I'm talking about this is this. A lot of people struggle with their past. You see, when Jesus came to Peter, he came to Peter where he was. But Peter didn't stay in the past. Jesus took Peter where he needed to go. But a lot of people have a hard time with past. And when we do that, here's what we're doing. We're doubting the power of the cross. We're doubting His forgiveness. He doesn't want us to live in the past. Now, we can learn from the past, and that's what He wants us to do. And that's what Peter had to do. Now, Peter had to learn from his past. But he didn't live in the past. That's the power of the empty tomb. That's the power of God's grace. See, Jesus has already paid for all our sins on the cross. 1 John 2:2 tells us that He paid for our sins on the cross. But in order to have that pardon, what we have to do is believe. We've got to believe in Jesus. We've got to open our life to Him. We've got to ask for His forgiveness. Like I said, it's not automatic. Christ died for our sins on the cross. God's goodness is based is not based on my goodness, but it's based on His mercy. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We've got to forgive those who hurt us. Peter, what I want you to do is take the mercy that I've shown you, take the compassion that I've shown you, and show it to other people. That's what we have to do. That's part of it. And to get past the past, then that's what we have to do. They tell us that there are two things that will keep us in the past. They'll keep us tied to the past. One is guilt. The other is grudges. So here's what Jesus says. Jesus says that we've got to confess our sin. The answer to our grudges is to forgive others who've hurt us and to let go of that bitterness. That's the only way that we can shut the door on the past. We've got to do that. We've got to get beyond that. Peter had to get beyond that. Peter had to get beyond his denial and the hurt that he'd caused people and maybe the things that people said about him after his denial. And then we face the future with faith. 50 days. Now get this. 50 days after Peter's denial. 50 days after Peter had really messed up. He stood on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel. You see, God wasn't through with Peter. God's not through with you. God's not through with me. In spite of our mistakes and failures and all that. But when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. Jesus wasn't shocked at Peter's failure. He knew what Peter would do. He's not shocked when we mess up. He knows that we need His mercy. He knows all that. He remembers, the Bible says in Psalm, He remembers our frame that we are but dust. He knows that. But He believes in us. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, for even though a righteous man fails 7 times, he will rise again. You see, when Jesus came to Peter in his failure, and I want you to get this, folks. He didn't come to Peter and pile on. He didn't do that. He didn't come to Peter and tell Peter how bad a guy he was and all that. But what did he do? He showed him mercy. And that's what we all need. I really believe this, that what Peter went through in his life changed him forever. I believe that. And we really see that after, you know, the resurrection and what Peter did after the resurrection. Sometimes what it takes in life for us to really change is difficulty. It takes hard time. Sometimes it takes a heartbreak for us to really change. And that's what happened in Peter's life. Now, he had a great heartbreak, but it changed him forever because of God's mercy. You see, everything in life is not good, but as we've quoted this verse many times, Romans 8:28, for we know all things are not good, but all things work together to good. Not to everybody, but to those who love God, those who have a relationship with Him. And God works everything out for the good, like He did in Peter's life, like He will in your life, like He's done in my life. I want to close with this thought that I started with. God comes to us in mercy with where we are to take us to where He wants us to be. Where are you today? Do you need God's mercy? Are you looking for that new beginning? Then put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank You today for Your mercy and Your compassion to us. And Lord, there's just so much that we learn from the life of Peter, because all of us are Peter. We've all been there. And we know what it is. And so, Lord, today we cry out for Your mercy. We need Your mercy, because we are needy people. There's no way that we get to heaven without You. There's no way that we have forgiveness of sin without what You did for us on the cross. But that's where the new beginning starts. It starts with faith in You. It starts with us coming to You and asking You for forgiveness of sin. But then after that, as believers, we know that we still sin after we're saved. We know that. We understand that. We know that our sin has been paid for on the cross, but what we need to do is just be honest with You. And we need to cry out for Your mercy, just like Peter did. Peter was a saved man, but yet he denied You. David, in the Old Testament, he was a man after Your own heart, but he had a great failure in his life. But he was still saved, but yet he came to that place of crying out to You for Your help and for Your mercy. And Lord, wherever You find us at today is that place of mercy in our life. And so, Lord, today, help us to call on You and to look to You for the help that we need today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together.
Just as I am.
I do appreciate you being here today. And so many times in my life, I just think about Peter. And I think about that message that the angel gave to the women that day. Go tell the disciples and Peter. And Peter will change your life. So many times in my life, I've just had to call for His mercy and say, Lord, I thank You that for Your compassion and mercy. And that's where we are, folks. We're needy people. But we have a God of mercy. We do. And we thank Him for that. Thank you for being here today. The worship team will come and they'll dismiss us in our closing song of benediction.
Thank you, Pastor. As we close this morning, Jesus is Lord of all. All that go through, He is Lord of all. All our struggles and everything, He is Lord of all. You join Him with us.
All my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I quit my struggles, contentment at last, Jesus is Lord of all.
Lord of all. Thank you. You're dismissed.